Mini episode 464 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone, to mini episode number 464 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We have a great guest on the program returning today. We've had him on previously, and he is a tremendous, tremendous storyteller. He is a gentleman who is very eloquent about speaking about his great career. We're going to have him on today to help us commemorate the life of a very good friend of his, somebody he had collaborated with, of course, Jim Jameson, who unfortunately was found passed away from a heart attack on August 31st. And again, Jimmy was just on the program for FDH Lounge Mini Episode 453. It's one of these strange coincidences of life. This may have been one of the last media appearances that he made. He was coming through Cleveland. Producer Steve Servillo helped set this up. I went backstage at the Hard Rock Casino in Cleveland, and this was the first time I'd ever met Jimmy face-to-face. He'd been on the show twice previously and been a great guest, and was very, very privileged to meet Dave Bickler as well and have him be part of the interview. And Frankie Sullivan, additionally, was a part of the interview. And we just had a great conversation backstage. It was a little bit short because it ended up being closer to concert time than it was supposed to be. There was a little bit of a schedule snafu on their end. So it wasn't as long as I would have liked for it to have been, but it was great to do. And little did I know it would be the last time that I would get to see or talk to Jimmy. And it's just one of these strange issues where if you would have told me we were going to be doing a Jimmy Jameson segment for 464 today, ironically, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. I would have thought, oh, okay, that conversation with Survivor probably circulated out there. The melodic rock community has been very good to this show. And I would have just assumed, oh, hey, you know, maybe some friends of Jimmy's want to come on with him and talk a little bit about his career. But unfortunately, that's not the way that this came to pass. But I am very glad that we have on a gentleman who was able to speak so eloquently about everything. And again, a tremendous storyteller, as you will remember from his previous time on the program. I speak, of course, of the great one-time lead singer of Toto, a gentleman who himself is a legend in the rock lead singing community, Bobby Kimball. Pleasure to bring him back on the program. Bobby, welcome to the show today. I'm sorry it's under such sad circumstances, but thank you so much for being here.
No problem, guy. It's a pleasure to be there to talk about Jimmy, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, somebody like you, with all the experience that you had with him, you're able to kind of speak to things in a little bit of a different light. And it was a very, very unique project that brought you guys together, both personally and professionally. I know you'd been longtime friends prior to that, but in 2011, that great Kimball Jameson album that you guys put out and doing the duets. Talk about the story behind that and what it was like to work with him on that kind of level.
Well, first, Rick, I have to tell you that Jimmy and I were best friends for over 25 years.
Wow.
And anyhow, I sang on several CDs with him. We loved writing music together. We loved, I was doing background vocals on his CDs, and we would go and sing on someone else's record. But Frontiers Records gave us a call and sent us an email. They wanted to know if we would be interested in doing something together. And I told them, absolutely, you know, and Jimmy wanted to do it too. So several writers wrote, they had about 20 songs they sent us. And we chose the 12 songs that we wanted to do. And this guy from Germany recorded the tracks that we chose and sent them to here in L.A., and Jimmy came out, and we went into a friend's studio who was a guitar player of Tower of Power for several years, And his name is Carmen Grillo. And Carmen engineered and sort of produced the lead vocals that Jimmy and I did. And the album came out, and it was called Kimball Jameson. And then Jimmy and I started touring all over Europe doing those songs. Plus, of course, I was doing some Toto songs that people really recognize. The songs that made Toto famous. Africa and Hold the Line and Rosanna. When you hear the name Toto, those are the three songs you think about.
Yes.
And I sang on those. But, you know, Jimmy was doing some Survivor songs, so we would just... We would do the Survivor and Toto songs, but we really enjoyed doing the songs from the Kimball Jameson CD.
That sounds like a great story of being able to tour them there, play those songs. I have to tell you, too, just on a personal note, those are the big ones that you mentioned there, but I also find Pamela to be one of my favorites as well. And in terms of popularity, probably not too far down.
One of the co-writers on the song Pamela is... is singing with Toto at the moment, Joseph Williams.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. And by the way, I sang on about five CDs with Joseph. A couple of those were his solo CDs. And,
oh, okay.
We had such a great time. Joseph and I were also on these West Coast All-Star They were a cappella CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill Champlin from Chicago for 28 years, and Jason Sheff, who is the lead singer for Chicago, anyhow, I don't know. Joseph and me were on both the CDs. We recorded two of them, but we recorded some really famous songs by Steely Dan, the Eagles, and just really, really famous songs that everyone would know and recognize. But we did them without any instruments. We did the background music vocally.
Wow.
Yeah. And one day it was really funny. Joseph, he's a good friend of mine. And I'm happy he's singing with Toto right now. But Joseph was the third singer after me. I was the first original singer with Toto. And, we got real famous on the first four albums. We recorded Rosanna in Africa for the Toto 4 album. But when we released Rosanna, we were nominated for 8 Grammys. And we went to the Grammys in 1983 and won 6 of those Grammys. And nobody had ever done that.
Right.
But after the Toto 4 album, I went through about half of the fifth album. It was called Isolation. But then they asked me to leave the band. And, there were just some issues. And, they asked me to leave the band, and they were halfway through the album. and they didn't have another singer in mind yet, but they hired this guy, Fergie Fredrickson. He was from Minneapolis, but he was down in Louisiana, where I'm from, playing with this band called Louisiana LaRue. And that song, New Orleans Ladies? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bobby?
You couldn't hear me?
I'm sorry. There must have been a phone issue there, but I'm still here. Yes.
Wow. That's really strange. But Fergie Fredrickson, they hired him, and he came up and sang with Toto for about a year. And, my God, Fergie just died not too long ago. He died of cancer. And anyhow, the things I did with Jimmy, that was some of the most fun I ever had.
I can imagine that.
Joseph was the third singer, Joseph Williams, and then they fired him, and they brought me back for 10 years, and then the band kind of dissolved in 2008, and over, you know, just some really strange reasons, and then when they got back together in 2010, they asked Joseph to come and sing with them, which is okay with me, because I tour all over the world about 200 to 250 days a year, and I have 9 bands around the world, and I met a lot of these musicians while I was touring with Toto, some of the best musicians I've ever met, and it was really fun. But when I did that CD, the Kimball Jameson CD with Jimmy, my God, that tour in Europe we did was it was fantastic. You know, out there touring with one of your best friends for over 25 years was really phenomenal. But my wife and I have a dog rescue. It's a nonprofit organization, and she works on it most of the time while I'm on the road. It's called Saving Canine Lives, and anyhow, Jimmy was helping us out. One of the first photos we took with a couple of rescued dogs was me and Jimmy and two of the rescued dogs. But
wow.
Anyhow, Jimmy was helping us out a lot with that. And I was on Channel 11 Fox News with Christine Devine doing an interview last Sunday when Jimmy died, and you know they shut the live cameras down for a few just about 30 seconds, and I looked down at the monitor and I saw Jimmy singing a song with Survivor, and after about 12 seconds this guy started announcing that Jimmy had just passed away. Oh my God, I almost fell out of the chair. It was so difficult to hear that.
But I can't even imagine. Yeah, your best friend of so long. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, we were on TV, you know, trying to advertise this benefit concert that we have coming up on September the 13th out here in LA with several good musicians and singers. And oh my God, this is gonna, you know, we do an annual benefit concert. And boy, it was very, very difficult to even think about anything after I heard that news about Jimmy dying. My God,
such a shock! No question about it. A complete shock.
Yeah, I got about 500 emails from people and about 150 text messages on my phone. Right, this is during the television show because they had announced the fact that Jimmy passed away.
Wow.
And yep. Before all of this, about a month and a half ago, I got an email from Frontiers Records, and they asked if Jimmy and I would do another duet CD. So, you know, usually Jimmy was very busy and I was very busy. So when I would call him, it would take him about 6 days to get back to me. But I called him for a month. I texted him for a month and emailed him, but he never got back. I didn't realize he was having some health problems. And
that's interesting. You know, I was going to ask you about that. Because when I was backstage, yeah. You know, these are, you never know if you're making too much out of it after the fact, but we weren't in a conversation very long. Me and the other three members of Survivor, of the three, he was seated the whole time, and I didn't really think anything. The other guys were standing, I was standing. I mean, is there anything to possibly, this was 16 days before the end, is there anything in retrospect to be read into that maybe?
Well, no, because I was trying to contact him, and he never called me back. Now, I actually, I did get a call on my cell phone, and I saw his name, and I answered the phone, but there was no, you know, I said, hello, 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 Jimmy, 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 and no voice, no, nothing came through.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I just hung up. I think he was trying to contact me back, but he was having some severe problems, and he couldn't even talk at the moment.
Okay. All right. So maybe
it broke my heart.
It just wasn't so sudden. Yeah. It's horrible the way that it happened. By the way, too, and you know, as far as what you said before about the different incarnations of Toto, I know I'm biased, but give me Bobby Kimball Toto, or don't bother giving me any other versions of it. That's the only version that I'm interested in of Toto, and I think most people would say the same. But you know, as far as your time at the helm there, I mean, and Jimmy's time at the helm of Survivor, very, very similar experiences, two of the biggest bands in the world. I mean, was that something of a bonding experience, that you were one of the only people in the world who knew what it was like to be in his shoes and vice versa?
Well, you know, when he got bumped out of Survivor, I got bumped out of Toto. And,
yep.
You know, that is when we became absolute best friends, because kind of the same problem was united between us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I totally understood, you know, where he was at, and he understood where I was at, you know, with that issue.
Absolutely. Very, very similar. Yeah. Band politics, we talked about that at the show there when we were backstage, you know, I mean, these things, and I got the sense from the three of those guys that old wounds had kind of faded into the background, and it seems like there's a real ebb and flow with these great bands from the heyday. You know, sometimes it seems like old wounds have faded away. Sometimes it feels like they flare up again if you're in too much proximity to one another. So it's always an interesting cycle. But, you know, they acknowledged standing there that, yeah, there had been some tough times between them. And obviously that was the case, because I was talking to two different lead singers of the band, Dave Bickler being the other one as well. So it just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of top bands really go through these things, and, you know, you and Jimmy are a few of the people out there that can really understand what it's like to be in that spot.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were both lead singers, and we were both fired.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, from some very, very strong, popular bands.
Yes.
And it was just sort of a difficult issue. But being friends with him was that was the easiest thing in my life. But
yeah. I didn't have the privilege of knowing him that well. Seemed like a very, very nice guy. I'm sure he was. I'm sure those of us that saw that, I'm sure it was only the tip of the iceberg, right?
Right. Yeah. I just did a festival. It was called the Napa Crossroads Huntington Beach Festival. I did it Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, there were 10 singers there, and they were all good friends with Jimmy too. Not as close to him as I was, but because I played a lot of concerts with Jimmy while he was out of Survivor, and played several concerts with him when he was in Survivor again. And you know, the singers out there, Al Stewart, Dave Jenkins from Pablo Cruz, Mike Reno from Loverboy, David Pack from Ambrosia, Bill Champlin, who was with Chicago for 28 years. And, you know, this has so many, 10 fantastic singers. If you look on my Facebook page, the official Bobby Kimball Facebook page, you'll see some pictures of it, and I announced all of the singers. My God, that concert was fantastic, and they filmed it, and David Pack is the one that, from Ambrosia, he's the one that kind of organized the band and got the singers to come. He's been a good friend of mine, too, for several years, but, you know, I hadn't seen him for about 6 years, and when he asked me to come out, it was really fantastic. And the festival was really phenomenal, and the last person that sang was Jim Peterick.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Survivor, but when Jim Peterick sang last, then all 10 singers went on stage, and we all announced an honorary dedication to Jimmy Jameson for passing away. And then we did the song Eye of the Tiger all together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a heck of a tribute right there. Absolutely. You know, and Jim Peterick, I have a lot of admiration for him as well. Person from the melodic rock community who's been on our show previously, and very, very talented and eloquent individual. And yeah, it sounds like there was so much great musical talent that was on display at that. Have you guys all coming out at the end to do that? It had to be a great musical, but way more than that on a human level. It had to be the most emotional of all moments, I imagine.
Yes. By the way, you mentioned Steve Cervillo a while ago.
Yes.
Jimmy is the one that introduced me to Steve. And you know, after Jimmy passed, Steve is contacting me by email very regular, on a regular basis. And he sent me several mails, and we talked sometimes on the phone since Jimmy passed. And he asked me to come. He was going to organize a band of really good friends of Jimmy and several singers that were real good friends with Jimmy. And we'll do a tribute con for Jimmy and, you know, give the money to him. And there would have been one in New York and one in Memphis where Jimmy lived. But about to go to Health Finland, I'm going to play a concert up in close to San Jose, California. The night after I do a benefit here on September 3rd, I have to be at the airport. I'm just going to fly to the and play a concert in Fremont, California on the 15th. After the concert, and there was two things saying before, at the concert, I have to be at San Francisco Airport at 4 a.m. because I'm flying at 6 a.m. to Helsinki, Finland. Yeah, when I get Helsinki, the promoter is going to pick me up and drive 3.5 hours to the concert. I have to get dressed, then go upstairs to the concert, turn around, get back in the van, and back at the airport, turn out to the 7 a.m. flight to Colombia. The concert there, the Medellin, Colombia. I come back for about 1.5 hours to LA. Then I go to the airport and fly to Tokyo. I'm being at BlizzCon. This is the largest concert arena in Japan. And it's sold out already. And I play the show in BlizzCon. I come back from Tokyo to LA. I'm home for one day. Then I'm going to fly over to the Philippines, and I'll be doing a 14-date concert in the Far East, in Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, with Kenny Cetera. That's Peter Cetera's brother that used to sing with Chicago. Oh, yeah. But that's how my next 3 months look.
And okay.
After in the Far East, after I finish in the Far East, I have to go to Europe, and I'll be doing a tour in Europe with it's going to be called the Acoustic Fever Tour, and it's John Parr singing and Don Dokken and the original drummer from the Scorpions and me, and it's going to be an acoustic thing. And
Wow. We're
going to do about 10 dates over there. Yeah. We're going to Italy. We're going to several dates in Germany, France. It's going to be crazy.
Well, as a legitimate child of the 80s, I'm very excited to hear about that lineup. That sounds like it's going to be a tremendous band. And I have to say, just, you know, in a larger sense, great to have you back on the show here for a second time. And to, again, to be able to help put a little bit of perspective and focus at a time like this for Jimmy's career, to be able to talk about him. We're going to be packaging up this conversation with the three conversations we had that Jimmy was a part of and putting it out there. This is the kind of thing that's very, very important to give that kind of perspective to his fans, to all the people that really appreciated him so much. And for you to be here and to do this and to give that to his fans means a lot to us. So I really appreciate it. I can't thank you enough, Bobby, and look forward to catching up with you once you're back off the road again and you're back making more music and preparing for subsequent tours. So thank you so much for being here today, Bobby. I can't tell you how much.
Well, Rick, I am going to do some tribute concerts for Jimmy no matter what when I have a little time off, because I book myself and I manage myself. But
okay,
I'm going to get some open time for myself so that I can, even if I have to organize the concerts that I do for Jimmy, I'm going to have open time for that, and I will get some of the best players, and I'll probably bring Mickey Thomas from Starship, Mike Reno from Loverboy, and John Cafferty from Beaver Brown Band. You know, we used to tour a lot with Jimmy.
Yeah.
All of us. So,
well, you know what?
I can get that
right
happening.
There. That sounds like a good thing to stick a pin in it and say, if not before then, certainly love to catch up with you at that time and help bring that to everybody's attention that tour is going to be coming. And once this shapes up, I'm going to love to hear about it. So will everybody in our audience. And we'll definitely want to catch up with you and talk about it and get the word out there. And that gives us something to look forward to. But again, at what must
yeah,
be
well,
a
Steve
tough
Severo
night.
To help me. I'm sure he would want to do one in New York, and
yes,
we'll come by and see you.
Yes, excellent. I look forward to that. I'm in the Cleveland area, so you can't do something like this and skip the rock and roll capital of the world, as a matter of fact. So I'm sure there will be something here in the heartland and all over the place, and that gives everybody something to anticipate, something hopeful and optimistic at a time like this. And we can all use this, and certainly probably very few more than you. I appreciate you, like I said, sharing your thoughts with us, and I know what is still a very difficult and raw time for you, but a very, very manly thing to do to come on here and to help paint this picture of Jimmy for everybody. And we appreciate it so much, Bobby. God bless.
And Rick, you just said you were in Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay. That wouldn't be a terrible thing, man. We'll get on the phone and talk about a venue in Cleveland.
Well, I'll be happy to do whatever organizing I can from on the ground here. So absolutely, yeah. That's I believe we have each other's email addresses. I always tell the story before you were on the show the first time when you emailed me, and I just happened to be listening to that one. I love mashup tracks. I was listening to the mashup track of some Jay-Z song with Africa, and I remember that we were finalizing your appearance. I emailed that to you, and I said, "Have you ever heard this before?" You emailed back, and you were like, "No, but it sounds like somebody owes us some royalties." Exactly. It's good to be able to laugh, even at a time like this. And again, Bobby, that gives us all something to look forward to here. A subsequent Jimmy Jameson tour, an appreciation, a celebration of his life, playing his music, getting to hear it from so many great musicians like you're talking about. I can't wait. And count me in for whatever I can do to help, Bobby. Anything I can do.
Yeah, well, listen, you're such a wonderful, helpful person. You know, I could also call Steve Severo, and he could help me organize a tour in New York, but also
yep,
in
we'll
Cleveland.
Volunteer him. Yep.
And maybe down in Memphis, you know, we'll just do 3 days in a row.
Exactly, yeah. Well, hey, you know, between Steve in New York and me in Cleveland, that's two cities down, however many cities to go, and, we'll get this taken care of. We'll get this tribute to Jimmy going coast to coast here, border to border. And again, that will be a tremendous thing when that comes to pass. Safe travels on your upcoming tour. Bobby, all the best to you. Thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to the next time we talk on the program, sir.
All right, my friend. You take care, and I'm going to hang on to your number, and as soon as I have some open time and I can get these guys that I was just telling you about to do this honorary tour for Jimmy, or Jimmy's family, actually, I want to honor Jimmy as much as possible.
And awesome.
I will get in touch with you, and we'll organize this thing.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to everything that's going to be coming from that. Thank you so much, Bobby. God bless. Have a great day,
okay,
and we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, brother. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today to this very, very special edition of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.